As the infrastructure bill becomes a law, what does it mean for broadband access? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. The $1 trillion infrastructure package goes beyond money for bridges and roads. It also includes around $65 billion for a different type of infrastructure, broadband, something that was especially vital for many in this pandemic, with those lacking access often unable to work or attend school remotely. Christopher Mitchell is the director of the Community Broadband Networks Initiative at the nonprofit Institute for Local Self-Reliance. He says that while that $65 billion is going into lots of different programs, there are a few big themes.
I think the key takeaways from the infrastructure bill are that we are going to see unprecedented investment in rural connectivity, and we have multiple years worth of subsidies for low-income families where they don't earn enough money to be able to afford the connection that may be already be available to them. Baltimore is a city that we often refer to because pretty much every address has high quality service from Comcast that's available if people can afford to pay those bills. But when the pandemic hit, a heck of a lot of families, I think it was about half of the families in the Baltimore schools, did not have internet access at home, largely because of that cost issue. So this bill is really going to help with that.
So how is this money going to move through the pipeline, and are cities and states ready for it?
I do not think most cities and states are very well prepared for it. And the money is going through different pipelines. So many states and many cities just have a lot of work to do to be able to spend this money wisely.
Are there some examples of states and communities that have successful models for rolling out these types of programs?
One of the states that we're very excited about is Vermont, because they have developed the system in which a lot of the nearby communities can band together to work together. I mean, you can imagine that we already do this with water and sewer projects, where it doesn't make sense for every town to build their own water system. Instead, they often work jointly. And Vermont has made it easy for communities to do that for broadband. And then they work often with another local provider, might be a private company, it might be a cooperative. And that company will then use the infrastructure that is owned by the community to deliver services across it.
We've heard a lot about the labor shortages and supply chain delays. How do you think these factors will affect the implementation of some of these policies and programs?
Yes, the supply chains are going to be a major problem. And you can see that from the fact that many of the companies that already operate as an internet service provider, they have to put their orders in for equipment that they're going to be receiving in 2023 and 2024. That is a very long lead time. And what that means is that if you have money that you're receiving in December or January to build a network, then it is going to be many years until you can really complete that network, let alone start it. And that means that rather than it being 4 or 5 years to solve a lot of the rural needs, it may take 7 or 8 years, depending on how long this takes. Additionally, it could cost 20 or 30% more now than it would have if we had spent this money 3 or 4 years ago. But we just kept delaying these investments. And so now everyone's rushing to put this stuff in. So there's going to be some challenges, but frankly, no one said it was going to be easy.
This piece of legislation, like many, was full of compromises. So what got lost in the process?
The thing that got lost is the thing that's probably closest to my heart, which is, what do we do about the rest of us? You can imagine it's on the order of 5 or 10% of people that live in the most rural areas. As many as a quarter of Americans qualify for the subsidy. That's about 1 in 4 Americans. And the rest of us often have 1 or 2 high-quality options available. But the prices are high, and we would like to have better choices. And the Biden administration made a big deal about fixing that problem and saying they were going to restructure the markets with smart investments. But a lot of people in Congress decided that they really didn't want to take on the cable industry and the big telephone companies. So I think most of us are going to see our bills continue to rise and not see new choices.
Christopher Mitchell is director of the Community Broadband Networks Initiative at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. And now for some related links. Axios has a good breakdown of just how that $65 billion for broadband is supposed to be spent, including a program to improve digital literacy for seniors. We'll have a link to that piece on our website, marketplacetech.org. We'll also have a link to a 2020 report from the Government Accountability Office looking at how well previous efforts to expand broadband access have gone. Like Christopher said, access has certainly been expanding, but the agency says affordability and digital literacy are still barriers. And local communities are already thinking about how to spend their forthcoming broadband money. We have a link to a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recapping a broadband solutions event the paper co-hosted, where experts warned about the risks of worsening the digital divide if the new funds aren't allocated carefully. And in a piece in North Carolina's Raleigh News and Observer, one rural broadband advocate describes this as a, quote, moment we've only ever dreamed of before. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.